Aren't the choices we have many and not always easy, but we choose to follow Jesus. We're choosing a new way, choosing a new path, just a different direction, and it's just not a casual choice. So let's just open with prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this message, God. We just thank you that you speak through us, God. We just cast out all condemnation, God. We just thank you that you are in our presence, Lord. We thank you that you speak to us, through us. We just thank you for blessing this message as you give it today. So, we've all got choices, as the skit showed. We have daily choices to make. We've got bad choices, good choices, easy choices, hard choices. But there's lots of choices. You ever take a multiple choice quiz in school? You remember those? I used to take those and just kind of find a pattern to pick the one and fill it in so I could get it done real quick. Didn't work out real well. I think I failed every test I did that way. But, you know, we got tests to take. And God likes us to make a choice, okay? But he doesn't give us 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different choices. He keeps it pretty simple. It's really straightforward. God gives us a clear choice, a clear open choice of what to do. He gives us a choice. In Deuteronomy 30:19, if we could bring that up on the board, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and I have set before you death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live and your descendants. There's no 4 or 5 different answers here. There's 2 choices. Whether it's your prescriptions, whether it's your phone, whether it's your work, your job, your loved ones, that's all one choice. And then the good choice. You have life and you have death. He keeps it really simple. Choose. It's very easy. Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is a popular one. Amen? Amen. We've got this plaque at home up on the wall. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Everyone here make that choice? Good, good, good. All the way back to Genesis at the very beginning. This is probably the first choice we were given. God set us up in paradise. He laid everything out for us. Everything was in his plan, and he just gave us a simple choice. You shall not eat from it or touch it. That was it. We messed it up, didn't we? We couldn't do it. How many times are we tempted by something we shouldn't have? We look at things, and we're just like, we know we shouldn't have that. But, you know, you're standing in the line at the grocery store, you see the candy bar. Man, maybe I'll have a candy bar or 6. So easy to fall into the choices, but God makes it simple. It's just an easy choice, life or death, blessing or the curse. Which one do you want to choose? So, you know, we live our life in large part based on the choices we make. You know, our life turns out the way we choose it to turn out. If we make good choices, make responsible choices, we pray about our choices, things always tend to go well, but when we make poor choices, things go wrong. You know, it's how many times do you see people's like, oh man, I just can't get things going. Things aren't going my way, you know. They're just not working out for me. It's like, have you examined your choices? Have you examined the choices you make? You showing up to work on time? Giving everything? Are you being responsible in your finances? Are you squandering your finances? Oh, well, maybe. Maybe I might be, you know. But I'm sure it's just the devil working on me. The devil's not responsible for everything, okay? He is not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at every time. We don't give him that much power. Sometimes the bad things that happen to you are just because you chose a bad choice, okay? It's that simple. And sometimes that's hard to come to grips with because we want to find somebody else to say, well, you know, it was his fault. That's why my life's bad, because he did it, or this didn't work out, or that didn't work out. But the fact of the matter is, things work out because of the way we choose them, okay? And we get what we choose. I don't want to make the whole message about bad choices, because we got plenty of those, right? I mean, we could probably sit here all day and talk about the bad choices we make. I could. I think that's why they put me up here, so I can talk about all the bad choices I make. It's like, see, look at him. But hey, you know what? That's the better. It's more celebration in heaven when one sinner is saved, you know. So it's much better when you come around. So, but I do like, I have a good sense of humor. I like laughing at things. I like searching through pictures. So I wanted to show you just a few pictures of some bad choices that you could make. You can go ahead and put the first one up. Yeah. Yeah, Joe Bob up here, he's like, I don't need no safety harness, man. I'm good. Just raise me up a little more. Don't hit the speed bump too hard. bad choice. Look at this one. How you like this? Hey, Joe Bob, just sit still. I got the blades set just right, man. I'm just going to skim off your sweatshirt here, you know? Go ahead and do the next one. You know, why use four legs when you can use two, you know? Hey, if he can do it with full ladder, I can do it with half a ladder. Hopefully the scaffolding doesn't roll. Next one. I feel bad for this dog. How many times did you look at a comfortable spot and you didn't really quite think it through? You sat down and realized, uh-oh, now I'm trapped in the choice I made. Jay, I saw this and I thought of Jay. I was like, this guy's going to be driving the Crown Vic forever. He's not getting the new car. Go ahead and see the next one. Oh, and this is the primo. I think this guy went to like scaffold building school with Dr. Seuss, you know? He's like, can you imagine what his thought pattern was when he thought, I gotta reach that light. I got some 2x4s and a truck. Man, that's unbelievable. So, I get a kick out of all of these things, you know. I'm kind of drawn to these latter ones because of a funny story when I was a kid. Shortly after we moved from, we used to live on Auckland Street, kind of downtown South Bend. We moved to Paxson. Just before we moved, one of my birthday presents was a basketball hoop, you know. I love Michael Jordan. I couldn't play basketball at all. I'm terrible. I'm not an athlete at all. But anyway, Dad got me this big basketball pole. He made the pole, and then he bought the backstop and everything like that. We tore it out. We moved it to the new house. He got the post installed, but he hadn't had time to get the backboard up. And, you know, me being ever patient, I decided I can do this. You know, I think I'm like 12 years old or something. I can grab this basketball and this hoop and the braces and stand up on a 10-foot tall ladder, and I can get it on there. I can do it. So I worked with this thing forever. I mean, I struggled all day long because it was really difficult because you had to hold the backstop up and you had to press the rim against the backstop. And then you had to put the brace in from the backside and then put a bolt through the backside. You got four of those. This was not a one-person job, let alone a 12-year-old job, okay? But I was persevering, man. I was working on it. I stayed on that thing. I sweated. I probably said some things I shouldn't have said. Sorry, Mom. But yeah. But I got it. I got it, man. I finally got that last bolt in, tightened it up, man. I'm like, woo, yes. Climb down that ladder, man. I go to get this ladder. I'm like, clink. Clink. Now, wait a minute. I had bolted the rim through the top rung of the ladder. So pretty much all of this struggle I was just through. Here I am standing at the bottom looking up at this thing. Now I've got to undo everything I just did. I couldn't believe it. It was something else. Hey, what are you going to do, you know? So, you know, but I find myself, I'm looking there, I'm standing there, and immediately, I've already done the work, I've already put in the effort, I've already gone the direction I decided to go, and I immediately regretted the decision I made, because I just didn't think it through. You know, I just didn't look ahead and think, while I'm standing up there working on something in front of my face, I didn't take a step back and absorb the whole thing in front of me, the choices that I have to make, so I can make sure that I don't make a wrong step. You know, we have to do that from time to time. We have to take a step back, take a breather, take a moment, look at what you're doing, examine, okay, what could go wrong here, and what's the bad choice, what's the good choice, okay? And think about the consequences of those choices, because those things are going to stick with you. Thankfully, that didn't stick with me long, you know, except for now that I brought it back up. So, you know, we make these bad decisions usually because they're not rooted in wisdom. They always end up in disappointment, failure, standing up there looking there. I'm glad we didn't have cell phone cameras back then because I'd have been on it. There'd be a picture of that ladder stuck in that rim all over Facebook or something. So, but they're not the plans. The consequences of these bad choices are not the plans that God has for you. Okay, this is not what he has for you. God is not ever-present setting traps for you to fall into. Okay, this is not the path he's got laid out for you. So, you know, what's the choice we make? This is the message this week is all about choosing Jesus. And you say, great, awesome, choosing Jesus. Everybody here chooses Jesus, right? Why? What's the reasons we choose Jesus? Why do we need to choose Jesus? Why is he the good choice and everything else is a bad choice? Well, first off, John 14:6, for access. And this is a tough one these days because nobody likes to make absolutes. But it says in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Some translations say no man. But that's a hard stance. Is there any wiggle room there? Is there any, well, maybe there's a back door. Maybe you can go a different direction. Anybody? You see another way around that one? Did he leave any legalese? Did he have his lawyers check that out and make sure they've got a way out of the contract with that one? No. He made that one pretty solid. That one's right there. I am the way, the truth, the life. It's right there. It's not many choices. So we choose Jesus for access. He gets us in the door. He gets us into the presence of God. That's really ultimately what it's for, because without Jesus, without the pathway of Jesus, we would never get through the door. Because we can't earn our way in. We can never be holy enough to stand in the presence of God. We can never be perfect enough. We can never be righteous enough. We can never do the best job ever that God will finally say, you are sinless, come to me. But God loves us, so he always wants to give us a choice. He always wants to give us a way in. And so he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us so that we had a way in. So he is access to the throne room of God. Amen? Yeah. Amen? You better clap for that one, because if we don't have that one, everything else is null and void if we don't have a way in. Second reason for forgiveness, in Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right back to the sinful lives that we live. Without Jesus, how could we ever be forgiven? Without God requires a sacrifice. That's one of those questions you can ask God when you finally meet him. God, why do you always require that? But it is what it is. All the way through, since the dawn of man, God has required a sacrifice in exchange for sin. In order to be cleansed, he requires a sacrifice of us. And finally, he offered Jesus as that ultimate sacrifice for us, that one that covers everything. But does that mean you can go out and make bad choices continually and no consequence? No. Unfortunately. Yeah, you can't just say, hey, Jesus got my back. I can be stupid. No, it's still really costly to be stupid. I tell you, it's expensive. And there's not always someone there to hold your sign either. So third reason we choose Jesus is for healing. How many believe here Jesus can heal? How many believe here God can heal? I hope so. If you don't believe God can heal, then what do you believe? I don't understand it. It's just a history book at that point. But God can heal. In Luke 6:19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. So through Jesus being in the Father and the Father in him, passes that healing right onto us. So in order for us to obtain our healing, we must seek Jesus. We must choose Jesus, okay? So when you're struggling with problems, health problems, everyone here is in perfect physical condition, right? Right? We've got just a room full of professional athletes, no problems. Yeah. We all got physical problems that we need prayer, we need healing for. And that's what we seek Jesus. We come to Jesus to find that healing. So kind of back to kind of take a circle around back to John 14:6. You hear a real popular thing these days about being many ways to heaven. Anybody hear that? Anybody run into that? Or other religions, you know, they're good people too. They're gonna get in. They just got their own little different way, right? Everybody heard that one? Or maybe Jesus, he was just a man, or some religions call him, he was just a prophet. Anybody believe that? Just a man? Kind of
downplays them a little bit much. So, you know, I was looking, doing some study this year, and I was trying to figure out how many religions there are. There's a ridiculous number of them. I mean, it's stupid. There's like religion of like the crock pot and stuff like that. It's all kinds of goofy stuff. I'm just like, all right, we got to pare this down. So I kind of broke it down to some of the major ones. So why can you say that Jesus is the one to follow and the other religions aren't? Well, let's just examine what the other religions follow. Islam, Muslims. They worship the Prophet Muhammad. You ever hear a Muslim dancing around saying, "I have Muhammad in my heart"? I don't know what their songs are like, but I don't hear too many of them talking about they got it. They talked to Muhammad today. They pretty much recognize he was just a guy that wrote the law of the Prophet, written the Prophet, but they weren't really giving him power than that. And you know why? Because the Prophet Muhammad is dead. Okay? Sorry. He lived and he died. He's nowhere around. I'm sorry to say it. He's not here. He's not in your heart. He's not living. He's not walking around. He's not healing people. He's not changing lives, saving souls. The Prophet Muhammad is dead. And I'm sorry, if that puts me on a watch list somewhere, I guess I'm there. So, next one's Buddhism. They worship the Buddha, you know, the big, fat, happy, jolly guy. Well, you know, he's dead too. Hey, Tate, that guy's dead too. Lived, died, talked a bunch of talk, but he lived, he died. He was just a guy, okay? And you got, this was funny, Sikhs. They worship Ek Onkar. I don't even know where they got that. But the Sikhs worship Ek Onkar. This guy, he doesn't have any form, and he supposedly lives inside of everything. So, you know, good luck getting your prayers answered by that cockroach or the bird or fly or whatever form the god is in. So, you know, and bugs and birds and flies and rabbits, they all die too. So essentially, Ek Onkar, he's dead too. Okay, it's hard to worship something dead. Then you've got Hindus. They've got like millions of gods. It's like millions for every little thing. You know, they've got a god of the flower, a god of the plant, god of the piano, god of the pillar, god of the station there, god of the shoelace. I mean, for every little thing, they've got a god. They've got a deity to pray to. I can't barely remember. I got three kids, and I can't barely remember their names. So I don't know how I'm supposed to remember 47,000 different gods and which one I'm supposed to pray for, which one time. So, again, good luck with that. I don't know how you're supposed to do that. You got atheists. These guys are gods. You know, they think they are a god. They are the center of the universe. If I was an atheist, I'd stand in this circle and let the world turn around me. But you know what? They're going to die too. So, essentially, their god is dead as well. Their body will perish, and they will be no more. And there's going to be a bunch of surprised atheists on the Day of Judgment. You're going to look at their face and be like, uh-oh, this wasn't supposed to happen. So, then you got Judaism. They worship the one true God, but since they don't really recognize Jesus as the Son of God, it's kind of as if they've got the Ferrari, but they locked the keys in it, okay? So now they're standing outside, they know the true God, but they're stuck outside because they locked the keys in the car and they can't drive it. You know what I'm saying? So they're worshiping the right God. The original God, the creator of the universe and the heavens and earth, but they don't recognize the access that he's given them to allow them to drive the car, right? So it's like they're close. They're almost there, but not quite. But as Christians, we serve Jesus. We serve Jesus, right? Because he's alive. Come on, you got to come alive for that. When you say Jesus is alive, I expect everyone to clap for that one, all right? Because again, if we don't have Jesus living, if Jesus wasn't resurrected, he would be another member of this long list of dead religions. And that's all it is. Dead religions. The difference between our religion, if you want to call it that, and every other of the world, is ours is alive. It is not a dead religion, okay? We celebrate a living God that walks among us. We celebrate access to the throne room through a resurrected Savior, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's a tough one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we live in America where it's America. I don't serve nobody. I'm American. I'm going to humble myself. I'm independent. America. America. Right? You know? For the most part, like being independent, that's a good thing. Nothing wrong with being self-sustaining in yourself. But it really makes it difficult for us to really humble ourselves and really truly make the choice. Because we have this wall that we kind of nationally put up about, having a problem with kinghood, kingship, bowing humbly before people. That's why you look at other countries, third world countries and places, and you see so much more activation in the work of God right now. You see so many people getting saved in other countries because they don't have a problem. They're used to having somebody lording over them, okay? But we serve a good God. We don't have to be concerned that Jesus is going to rule with an iron boot on our neck, okay? He's not standing up there just waiting to just lord his power over us. But we need to come to grips with the fact that we are not independent. Okay, we cannot come to God by ourselves. You can do everything else. You can earn your own living. You can pay your own bills. You can buy your own car. You can put your own gas in there. You can buy your own food. But you cannot buy yourself into heaven. Okay, so we need to make a mind shift in our country, in our mindset. We like individualism. We like independence. But we need to humble ourselves before the Lord God in order to see that. We need to truly choose what He is. All right. So, I want everyone here just to raise your hand if you choose Jesus. I kind of expected everyone in here would raise their hand. Okay? Because who in church would not raise their hand when asked the question, do you choose Jesus? Huh? Do you really see yourself? Even if inside your heart you're watching this drama and it's convicted you, and some of it you've seen, you're thinking, ouch, maybe that's me. But you raise your hand anyway, right? I think that's almost more of a problem inside the church than it is outside the church, because asking for help, admitting that you haven't always chosen Jesus, that's tough. Especially inside the church, because our pride gets in the way of being able to stand up and humble ourselves and say, God, I haven't always chosen you. I've sat there on my phone and I've texted. I've chosen work. That one for me. I can tell you right now, I know what's pointing to me when I see a skit like that. I know work becomes my Jesus more often than not. And I'm not afraid to say it. Because if you expected someone perfect to come up here, they made a mistake picking me. Okay? But like I said, they chose somebody imperfect to come up here and talk, which we all are. But we need to recognize that. We can't let pride and shame and condemnation come between us re-upping our choice with Jesus, okay? Because it's not a rolling contract. It's not a cell phone contract where automatically every 2 years, after 1983 when you came to Jesus and you said, oh, I'm good with Jesus, you know, I got to choose Him again. He's not there on call for you. He's not your servant, okay? Jesus is not your servant. He doesn't sit around and wait for you to call Him, okay? All right? He'll always be there for you, but He's Lord. Do we understand the gravity of calling Him Lord, what that means? Going back to, again, the American culture, it's really hard to wrap your head around calling someone Lord. We just don't understand that. There's something in our DNA just gets in the way of doing that. But that's what He is. It's what He is. So take it seriously, okay? Take it seriously. So if I asked you again to raise your hand, have you really chosen Jesus? And I'm not asking you to do it. You don't have to. But are you looking at everything you do, every hour of the day, and can you really admit that you've chosen Jesus? Can you admit that you truly have that choice in your life? I'll raise your hand for this. How many people here like public speaking? There's a couple that don't mind it. Now, what if you were asked to speak about your passion? Something that you know intimately well. Jay, what if somebody asked you to talk about working as a police officer? Would you be able to do it? He'd probably talk for hours on that. Fluidly, easily. Elder Jim, if asked to talk about trains, history of trains, he'll talk you forever on trains, okay? Because he knows trains, okay? So it's easy to talk about, all right? If you want to ask me about anything to do with fencing or gate operators, I'll have you bored to tears in 5 minutes. But I'll talk passionately about it because I know it intimately. So, do you talk the same way about Jesus? Are you walking around and do you have the same rapport when you're bringing up Jesus to somebody new? Do you walk up to somebody and do you have passion talking about Jesus? And if you don't, why? Why? Could you talk about Facebook passionately with a friend? Could you talk about your work passionately with a friend? It's quiet. Got quiet. That's something we can work on, though. It's something we can change. You don't have to be stuck with it, okay? You're not, because you admit that you haven't done it always right does not separate you from God. It's not over at that point, okay? It's not, you don't have to throw the keys down and say, I'm done, I guess I messed up, it's over for me. Joel 2:13. And rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and relenting in evil. He doesn't desire to block us out. God does not stand there with a sledgehammer waiting to come down on your head with condemnation. He does not look forward to whooping you, okay? It's like, you ever see that with your kids? It's like sometimes you get the one that's always stubborn, that's always kind of pushing, strong-willed. I got one of those. I'm not going to name names, but I got one of those. But they can sometimes feel like that, you know, my parents, they look forward to punishing me. It's like all they want to do is come home and pick on me. You ever feel like that? Ever feel like, man, God just wants to get me. That's all He wants to do. He wants to come home and just, He's going to ground me again. He's going to come at me. He's going to whoop my rear end. I can't believe it. He just likes to do this. That's not the case. How many parents here love to punish your children? Anybody here love? Don't raise your hand for that one, by the way. You need some counseling, all right? You don't need to go raise your hand. I love to beat my kids. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Talk to Pastor Janet. She'll talk to you afterwards, okay? But no, for the most part, none of us enjoy doing that. We don't do it because we just have a sadomasochistic desire to punish kids and just beat them, okay? That's not the reason for it. We do it because we love them. We do it because we understand that because they lack wisdom and direction that they're going to make poor choices sometimes. And they need a little bit of push back onto the path. Okay, and it's the same way with God. He doesn't punish us. He doesn't condemn us. But He does nudge us back onto the path sometimes. When we go astray, when we wander off to the side, He does kind of get you back going in the right way. Okay, so don't look at God like He's just over you, just waiting to punish you. Just can't wait to come down on you. Zechariah 1:3. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you, says the Lord of hosts. We got to come to Him first. We got to come to Him first. We have to humble ourselves. Like I said, He's not an on-call waiter. Just waiting to do whatever we need Him to do at any point in time. Jesus, get me a car. I need you now. Oh, things are good. Go away. Don't bother me. How many people do that? When things are really running well, how's your prayer life? Is it always the best when things are just clicking away? Healthy, feel good, you're not sick, job's going great, making money, bills are paid off, those kind of things. I'm good, Jesus, I'm all right. I don't need to pray that much, I'm good. It should be quite the opposite. We should be stronger in prayer in our blessing as we should be in our trials, okay? Our prayer life should be consistent all of the time, and not just a partial prayer life. Anybody here have ever heard of a prayer closet? We've heard of that. A place to go, a refuge. I heard a funny commercial the other day on WFRN. It was a lady, she's starting her prayer. And thank you, God, we just thank you. And then her phone, bling, bling, rings. Oh, hang on. She answers that. It was so funny because it was just like the skit we had. And then okay, she goes back to praying, and then the kids are making noise in the background, and then she's distracted. When you choose Jesus, you need to choose Him fully. When you get into prayer, you need to pray fully. Okay? Don't pray partially. Okay? God loves an earnest prayer. Seek Him earnestly, seek Him fully. If you got to step away from the kids for a while, if you got to let them burn the house down, maybe don't let them burn the house down, but if you got to leave them alone for a few minutes, if you got to step outside, you got to take your phone, put it somewhere else, the world won't end, okay? The world will not end because you missed a call or you missed an email or you didn't see a post. It's not going to be over with, all right? But take that time and dedicate it to God, okay? Dedicate it fully. Get yourself a prayer closet. My prayer closet is my car. So when I'm driving, I try not to answer the phone. Jen gets mad at me all the time. She'll text me, and why didn't you text me back? I was like, I don't look at my phone. It's half the time it comes through, half the time it doesn't. But I really don't find it a priority to look at the phone, because when I'm driving, that's when I like to turn on the radio in the morning. They always have the preachers on. I like to listen to them, sometimes criticize them, because they're not always right. They're people, so just like me, they're going to be off in some places. But I like to listen. I like to spend that time listening to God and getting into it, because as soon as I'm in the office, nothing else gets done, okay? As soon as I'm in the distractions of life, it makes it very, very difficult to get that connection back, okay? So we have to settle ourselves. We have to take time to break it down, to walk away from everything else. And we have to do that on a daily basis, not just every 10 years, not just every other month, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but we have to do it every day, all of the time. Because again, it's not a one-time choice. It's not a fix-it-all. It's a constant choice. It's an everyday thing where we find that relationship with Jesus. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Good thing for us, right? Good thing for us that he never forgets his promise. You ever promise somebody something and you forgot to follow through with it? I've done that a few times. I don't intentionally do it, but I'm human, and sometimes I forget things. Jen say I probably forget a lot of things. But God's not like that. God's not like that. He never forgets his promise. Okay? He never forgets his promise he made to his people. He puts up with a lot of stuff. You ever wonder how he can put up with you? I do that all the time. I kind of wonder. I'm like, why would you even want me? Anybody ever think that? Why would you even need me? It's like, you don't want me. If you knew me, God, if you only knew me, oh, man, you wouldn't. They'd be hit by lightning right now. But he knows us. He made us. He created us. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew us. Isn't that an amazing revelation to understand that everything you do, he knew? He knew the plans he had for you, plans to prosper you. Okay? He knew it before you did it. So don't never be afraid to come back to God. Okay, he knows where you're at. He knows who you are, and he uses every one of us. In fact, I think he picks the more imperfect people to do the great works. Because, and this is nothing against a righteous person. God loves them as much as he does the sinner. But I think he loves it, especially the turnaround story. How many people here have a turnaround story? How many people here reached a point in their life where they said, nope, no more. I'm changing my direction. I've got one of those. I did a lot of stupid stuff. I was nobody's surprised about that. Come on, kids. Somebody's like, no, you're all right. Everybody's just like, yeah, you probably did. You prayed it. Man, thanks, guys. I was we were raised in the church, so it's like it was every day. Mom would take us to church all the time. She's taking us to church. We would drive her nuts because we didn't want to pay attention. I would fall asleep half the time. I couldn't wait to get out of church. I didn't enjoy church. I really believe, what's it called when you absorb knowledge in your sleep? Osmosis, yeah. I really believe in that. That works, because I know a little bit of Spanish, and I know I slept every single day in Spanish class. But church is the same way. I slept a lot in church, and as soon as I was 18, I got an apartment. I had two jobs when I was 18, so I got an apartment. I was like, psh, I'm out. It was like it was nighttime. I threw my stuff in trash bags and threw it in the back of the truck. I couldn't wait to get out. And it wasn't like it was bad living with my parents. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't anything like that. I just wanted to be free. How many people here want to be free? So I moved out. I got an apartment with a buddy. Turned into more of a bar than an apartment, because it was more drinking than anything else. Then I finally convinced myself that I was an atheist, that I was God. I toted that line because, you know, it was the popular thing to do. I genuinely never believed it, but I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be with the other people, and it was popular to discount God. It was popular to say that humans are the ultimate. Okay, that was the thing. So I found myself doing that, you know, and then met my wife. Thank God, chased her out into a parking lot to do that. So, yeah, she probably thought I was a stalker, but, you know, she said yes, so what are you going to do, you know? That's her bad choice, I guess. So anyway, you know, and then, you know, we did the thing. We, you know, we got married. We bought a house just after Maya was born. My grandfather... got sick. But he came to Jesus. And that's not the recommended way to do it. Because he that waits till the 11th hour to repent often dies at 10:59. But he did. He gave his life to Jesus. And it was really at that point that we made a decision together. We said, we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait till it's too late. Okay? We want our kids raised in the church. We don't want our bad choices to become a generational curse upon our children, one after another, after another, after another. We said it stops here. Amen? There has to be a point in your life where you say it stops here. And that's the point you change direction. Okay? Don't ever be so full of pride that you can't turn around. Don't ever stop and say, well, I've been going down this road for so long, I might as well just stick with it because it's too late to turn around. I've heard, it's funny, anybody hear about an election going on? I don't want to get too much into that because then, you know, how much that stuff gets. But it's so funny because one of the criticisms is, we want to change everything we've done and go take us backwards. Well, sometimes when you figure out you're going the wrong way, you got to turn around, okay? At some point, moving forward doesn't always work, because you can't move forward if you're going the wrong direction, because it's only going to end up moving down, all right? If you keep going the wrong direction, it will be one direction, down. And you're going to be that surprised little atheist standing there in line saying, man, I didn't know this was real. I thought we was God, man. Or you're going to be standing up there praying, where's the ants and the cockroaches? Where's Ikh Shak Nar? Or where's Muhammad? Why isn't he here? You're going to be crying out for Jesus at that time, but you'll be like the man looking up from hell asking Lazarus just to dip his toe in the water because it's so hot. And I don't want to be fire and brimstone because there's so much more to it than that. It's not about punishment and condemnation. It's about the glory of God. It's about the presence that we have with Jesus. It's about that relationship that we build with him. So when we make that decision, when we finally draw the line, when we finally say enough's enough, I'm tired of this garbage that I'm living in, when we finally had it with our rotten choices putting us up on Dr. Seuss scaffolding and dropping us on our head every left and right, when we're finally fed up with that and we come to Jesus, there's a celebration in heaven. How many people believe that? That when you finally turn around, no matter who you are, there's a celebration in heaven. How does that make you feel to know that the heaven, the creator of the universe, throws a party when you turn around? Can you imagine? There must be a party all the time. There must be a party every day. There needs to be one every second. Okay? And that's where you come in. You've chosen Jesus. So let's start making parties. Okay? So let's have some passion about who we speak to about Jesus. Let's show him that we're as passionate about Jesus as we are about our job. Let's show him that we're more passionate about Jesus than we are about that Budweiser in the trunk. Let's show him we love Jesus more than that lousy Notre Dame. Oh, did I say lousy Notre Dame? I'm sorry, they're not that good this year. Sorry, Will. Even you got to admit that. But no, we get so impassioned about the things that don't matter, but then we overlook the most important thing. Let's not do that, okay? Because there's a party in heaven. Every time we show some passion, every time we jump up and down and we say, Jesus saved me and he can save you, you got to be excited about that, all right? Come on, get excited. Get excited. There you go. You got to be excited about the fact that Jesus saved you. He threw a party in heaven just because little old you turned around. Little old just me. I didn't think he cared about me that much, but he does. He does. He cares about you like his own son. So much so that he gave his own son for you. That's why we choose Jesus. Not because he's dead, not because he's a history lesson, but because he's alive. Every single day, he's alive. 1 Peter 2:25, for you were like sheep going astray, and have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Love that. I love that. I love the thought that he would leave the entire flock to come out and get one of us. I am blessed to have a father like that. A natural father. I know that's something that seems like it's ever more and more and more popular for fathers not to be there. But I thank God every day my dad was always there. Dad is always there. And he's the type of dad, we call him Terminator. Because it's like the Terminator, I don't know if you ever watched the Terminator movies, but in one of the Terminator movies, the robot comes back and she's admiring the fact that he would never stop at anything. He would never say no. He would never be angry with him. He would never walk away from him. He would never abuse him. He was the father to that child. And I'm so thankful. I have a father that is just like that. He's not perfect, but you know what? At any point in day, any time of the hour, it doesn't matter if it's 3 a.m., if you call dad, okay, I'll come get you. I'll come help you. He's always there. And that's been such a foundation in my life. That I feel like it gives me a better understanding of the heart of God. Because I witness it here on earth. Okay? Because I've lived that relationship and I see my own father the way he treats me and he treats his children. And I'm able to see and understand that relationship that God has for us. He's always there for us. He always loves us. And for those of you that didn't get that, that's where Jesus is your bridge. Jesus is your bridge. He is that relationship that you didn't get. He's that missing piece of your life. That part that you just couldn't quite fulfill. That's why God sent Jesus to us. To fill that empty void. Because we can't fill it with pills. And we can't fill it with phones. And we can't fill it with girlfriends or boyfriends. We can't fill it with, what was the other one? Shoes? Work? I'm going to remember shoes all the time. We can't fill it with that, okay? You need Jesus. So, never be afraid to recommit, okay? Never be afraid to come up and say, yeah, I'm in church. Yeah, I go to church, but I'm not perfect. Okay? Don't be so proud to say, what would they think if I didn't raise my hand and say I've chosen Jesus? Because I can promise you there was at least a few people in this room that when you raise your hand, probably in the back of your mind, you're thinking, that skit was a little more me than I am comfortable with. But you raise your hand anyway because we feel compelled to do so when we're in a church. We have to be humble, contrite of heart. We have to be broken before God to admit on a daily basis that we need Jesus. We need to make that choice every single day. So if you haven't made that choice, if you haven't come to that point, if you haven't hit that crossroad, do it. Do it. It's not too late. It's like the Nike commercial. Just do it. If you're past it, you're never past it. That's the wonderful thing about it. You're never too far down the road to turn around and choose Jesus. All right? So recommit. Recommit at all times. Be ready. Be ready to come back. Let's just, would you like to close in prayer, Pastor Janet? Okay, let's just close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you that you speak to us every day, God. We just thank you that you're the God of opportunity, that you're the God of forgiveness, that you're God of open door. God, we just thank you that we recognize your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord of our lives, God. We just thank you that you keep that door open for us. And God, we just ask that you strengthen that relationship in us, God. We just thank you that you every day work on us and give us the strength and courage to put all the things of life aside and choose Jesus. So we just thank you for all these things. We thank you that you're the creator of heaven and earth. We just bless everyone here today, God. We just pray safety over everyone as they travel today, as they go home. God, we just thank you. We bless the food that has been prepared for us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. I'm stirred this morning by that message. Thank you, Deacon Gabe.